This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
B. Mitch and Finley, high noon in the District of Columbia. Celebrity joining us, Doc Walker. Doc paying tribute to Landini. What Doc give you for the old B-Day celebration?
He gave me some red wine.
Ooh, yeah. Nice.
He wants some Coke.
I know what he likes to mix it with.
Coca-Cola.
I have a theory, Doc. You could just give me a yes or just a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I feel like you don't eat birthday cake.
Be correct.
I feel like birthday cake is too soft for you. Canines can't be eating birthday cake.
No, you can, but it's just not a good look. It's not a good look. And especially during a loss, a pathetic defeat.
But his birthday ain't got nothing to do with a celebration. It's his birthday.
I know, but for landfill, I'll have a drink in his honor.
Attaboy.
Well,
but Drew's got him out there.
Well, Drew, man, Drew.
Hey. Drew. Doc needs a drink.
I was on the radio with Doc Sunday night post game. He was not in a birthday cake mood. I know that much.
Yeah. Somebody comes, hey man, is Doc Walker okay? I say, yeah, that's how he is all the time. He good.
Doc is the best. An absolute gem of a man. You can listen to Doc Walker on with Chris Russell. I believe that show starts at 2:00. Is that right, Landini?
One little time.
Yeah, 2:00.
2:00. All right, let's run through some DQ stuff from yesterday. Quinn addressed the media yesterday. DQ, real or perceived, very much in everything is cool mode. Let's start with the injury updates, Lamphill, because you're talking Eckler, Robinson, and Andrew Wiley. This is fairly significant.
Yeah.
Number 2, Landini, sorry.
Hey, Dan, can you give us an update on Austin, Brian Robinson, and then Andrew Wiley, please? Thank you.
Yes. Austin had a chance to visit with today, and fortunately last night did all the scans, and that side came back good. It certainly was sore, but he will be in the concussion protocol. But, man, it was good to see him. Those are scary moments, John, when those concussions like that take place. Brian was the next one I think you asked, and came treat him today, ankle, injury to go. We'll have a better see how much work that he does during the week. So I'll have a better sense for you as we get further along. And then Andrew Wiley is in the concussion protocol as well.
You know what, Jay?
Not great, B.
I think I'm about to go back to the lab, dog. You need a running back and a kick returner. I may have to give up this seat for a few weeks, bro.
You said you were working out this morning.
I'm ready, bro. Saying. No.
I mean, what's the Toby Keith song? I'm not as good as I once was, but once I'm as good as I ever was.
Yeah, I could be as good twice.
Bro, B, you play against, right, play against the Titans, then you get a bye.
I lay this on a couple people. They're going to be in trouble, dog.
B needs that one extra return yard.
That's true.
They could turn this like into a movie, like with
that's a punt return yard.
That Bernie Mac movie where he came out of retirement to get three more hits so he could get 3,000.
Mr. 3,000, right?
Yeah, that would be like B-Mitch.
Oh, boy.
All right,
I'm going to stay away from that. I love my health right now.
You got my vote. Not a great situation for Washington. Let's just be real.
It's not, but I think it's not as bad as you may think, because one thing I've always, this is how I felt, and I'm sure, I know I talked to a lot of guys, they feel that way. Guys get opportunities, man. Young guys down the stretch get opportunities. They could go out there and make you really turn your head, because when that Monday Night Football game happened in 1990, it's kind of late in the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my job for me was to make sure the coaches realize, okay, we can use him on our team going, as we go forward. And I think there are a lot of guys, if those guys can't go and those guys get opportunity, you can rock, because you have to be, if you are the coaches, you have to be concerned. This is two for Austin this year.
Beyond the coaches, I think if you're Austin, you got to be concerned.
I mean, this is what guys do. Like, you know, and players don't ultimately get concerned as soon as you're told you can go. Like, everybody thought Tua shouldn't play tomorrow. Hell, he out there.
Right. Sure.
You know? So I just think, as the coaches think about it, you got to be careful with that one.
For sure. For sure. Hope the best for Austin. I mean, that's serious. You take care of yourself. But whatever you need to do, understand. Robinson's an ankle. You know, you're hoping that could be different. I will say the injuries have continued to be a factor throughout Robinson's tenure in Washington. And it stinks for this offense. Quinn was asked, though, and this answer gets even harder if Robinson and or Eckler are out on Sunday. But number three, Landini, how do you get the rushing attack going?
And then along those lines, so the running game has not been working the last weeks, as I'm sure you know. And now you have possibly three key people who would not be part of this. How do you get this right going forward, and how important is it to get it right moving forward?
Yeah, let's start with the last part first, how important it is to get it right. It's critical, you know, for us, because it takes all 11 to run it. It's the quarterback on the fake. It's the tight ends, wide receivers, perimeter. I think so much is put, hey, just the offensive line, but a really rock-solid top-to-bottom run game that's about everybody. And so fortunately for us, we do have a big, deep crew at that position. And as we work through the weeks, we do practice, you know, the other guys, including the practice squad, through that at the running back spot. It is a position, John, that you better have depth at, you know, due to injuries and such. So that's where we stand along that. And it's.
But he's right. Everybody matters. But it's five people that matter more than anything.
Yeah.
You know, if the only running back in history that I know that had an exceptional career where he had one dominant offensive lineman, okay? So my man from Maryland played center for him. Barry Sanders.
Okay.
But the rest of the offensive linemen weren't that great. But the center was. He was a Turk.
Right.
I think everybody else, if you don't have a good running back, just like quarterbacks, if you have a good line, you're not going to be able to be a good quarterback. If you don't have a good line, you're not going to be a good running back. So the offensive line has to start first. And I think they're at a point now where – it's about health.
Kevin Glover, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay. It's about health over who's the best. You get what I'm saying? If a guy is the best, but he's like 65%, I'm going to go put the guy that's a little less than him that's 100% or 98% or 95%. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're at a point now of the year, like Dallas figured out Tyler Biadasz is a dog. He's a bad man. So they started sending two people to attack him and knock him off the ball, which does two things. It stops your running back from having a clear spot up the middle, and it damn sure makes your quarterback feel like he got to get flushed out the pocket. So if Tennessee tries that, what you need to do is have those guards give them hip pointers. Tear their asses up all day in the hip, and then up to a linebacker, and I guarantee you'll stop it. But you got to have health at the offensive line. Then everything goes, because if you're blocking well enough, the guy who none of us know his name can go out there and run the ball very well.
I mean, you saw that. I mean, the best example of that is when Mike Shanahan was running Denver. And
no matter who he put back there.
Dude, Mike Anderson, Orlandis Gary.
But like all the stuff they did back in the day is considered illegal now.
Yeah,
they were cutting people, hit them in the back of the legs. You can't do all that right now. But they had a hell of an offensive line for what they allowed.
But to your point, I think an area that I'm just not going to entertain, and people can do whatever they want, but I'm not getting caught up in Jaden versus Bo Nix. I will say, though, Bo Nix is playing much better football now than he was a month ago, 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not lost on me. That O-line in Denver, if you watch any of it, they're good. And I just saw this from Ben Baldwin, who's a analytics stats guy. He did a chart of the best pass protection in the NFL. And you've got your usual suspects. The Eagles are obviously up there. The Chiefs are up there. Vikings, Ravens, Bills.
Mm-hmm.
But the best pass protection in the NFL, Denver.
Okay.
And that, like, people, I think, falsely are trying to make this big race between Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. That's fine. Do whatever you want. I don't care about Rookie of the Year. But Denver's built a really good team, and they are coached to really protect and help Nix.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's good. Like, good for them. That's what you should do with a young quarterback.
See, that's the whole thing. Like, for me, Jay, and I don't care about hurting people's feelings, when I hear a lot of people discussing Jaden and they only blame Jaden, they don't see the protection. They don't see the injuries on the offensive line. I completely look at them as dumbasses. I'm going to be totally honest with you. And I don't care who you are. Some of them might work at Outstation. I call you a dumbass. But the ultimate thing to me is quarterbacks don't do a damn thing by themselves. Like when we came in here today, you said Herbert was good in the first half, not in the second half. His offensive line started getting the ass whooped in the second half.
Yeah.
So, and Herbert is a guy who's been here a while, top notch.
Rocket of an arm.
I watched Pat Mahomes look this year like he did last year because his line is not as good as they were last year. You know, you watch Lamar. When Lamar's out there running, that offensive line is blocking stout. When they're not, he doesn't look the same. But now it's people that want to prove their idiotic-ass points. They want to forget about the other aspects of the game. I'll say it again, and I said a million times on this damn station, the most dependent position in all of sports is a quarterback. And now you flip it over to the running back, he can't do a damn thing without the offensive line either. So our first thing is to get better play out the offensive line, and then you could do whatever you want from that. Hell, Cliff Kingsbury is getting knocked right now. If you don't have a healthy offensive line, guess what he can't do? The things he want to do.
Perfect segue. Number five, Landfill. Let's talk a little Cliff. Here's DQ.
Hey, Dan, to be a little more specific on that topic, whether you agree with this conversation that exists about Cliff Kingsbury's offenses over the years, it does exist, and you probably were aware of it prior to making the hire. What was your thought about that at the time, and what's your thought of it now when people bring it up because the offense has been in a little bit of decline of late?
Sure. I probably don't give it as much, Ben, and here's why. You're talking about a different program with different people and different players. And so I think going into and you're putting in a system together, you want to make sure that you're featuring the players and the things that they do best and all of that. And so I think Cliff's done a good job of that. Although there are like peaks and valleys and, you know, any season that's going to go, I don't have a sense of what somebody did, you know, well before, because the system that, you know, was in place there is not the same exact carbon copy as the one here.
What do you make of that?
I totally agree. Because when he didn't even address that when he first got here. He said, when I was in Arizona, I was the head coach and I had no influence from anybody else. I put in my stuff that I ran at Texas Tech. It was Texas Tech, right?
Yeah.
He said, now we're implementing an offense where I got all types of other people giving me ideas of what to do. And so what he's putting in now has some Anthony Lynn in it. I told you I hear Quinn talking so much about it. He has some Dan Quinn telling him what gives them problems on defense. You know, he has, I'm sure, what's my man, the tight end coach? You got him giving him some stuff, what he thinks we both believe is going to be a offense coordinator or David a damn Ryan, head yeah. coach in this league. Brian Johnson brings the stuff from Philadelphia.
Bobby Johnson.
So this is not exactly what he had. But let's be real, Jay. Things may look similar, but they may not be exactly what it is. But as I told you before, and I'll say it again, we got a lot of lazy journalism. People jump on narratives and they just run with them.
Well, there's...
There
are numbers to support it.
Numbers can support what they want. If you got the exact same stuff, yes. When you don't have the exact same stuff, that's not easy to just fall on. You can't say his offense is doing something without addressing the fact that the offensive line is looking like they're in shambles compared to what they were early on.
For me, specific to the Arizona stuff that I don't think gets talked about enough when people want to point out the numbers, because the numbers are real. He had a rookie quarterback the first year. Generally, these guys kind of hit a wall and slow down late in the year. Kyler Murray took almost 50 sacks that year.
Yeah.
Like those numbers are going to be impacted. Then in 22, Murray got hurt about halfway through the season. When you lose the year before, they went 11-5. It was Cliff's best year. That's when he got the extension. The next year, Murray gets hurt and he goes down and he blows out his knee and he's gone a while. Like,
yeah,
your numbers are going to look worse after the star quarterback goes
down. That's
that
what
the offense is built around.
So now, in a different offense with different influences, you can't automatically say that's the reason. Like, you know, it's just a pattern that happens. You got to dig a little deeper into the thing and see what's going on. How many people do it? Not many. You know, listen, we live in a profession where we can question a lot of stuff. I, unfortunately, for a lot of people, have lived on both sides of it. I've been questioned by a lot of people that don't know a damn thing about the offense or what's going into it. But I've also been on this side of it for a long time where I can now say stuff and understand how I see people on this side that just jump on narratives instead of investigating it a little bit deeper. So when I keep talking about the offensive line, I am telling you that's very damn vital to any offense out there.
Sure.
But how many people really even care to think about it? No, that's not juicy. That's not a good thing. I got to go over here and get this thing that sounds like, oh, this is what's going on right now. It's a bunch of crap to me.
But at the same time, injuries happen throughout the NFL.
They happen.
You got to be able to keep it moving.
So go and tell me all the other teams in the NFL that have hurt linemen and tell me they're doing the exact same thing they were doing.
But here's my point. You are a next man up. You got to keep moving no matter what.
I understand that.
Right now is a little bit of, and we were talking about the interior pressure. Cliff, I think, needs to show a counterpunch. Like they got to come up with something, right?
Yeah, but the thing I'm trying to tell you, they are putting the same guys out there, okay? You're talking about next man up. A lot of these other teams have next man up that could be starters somewhere.
Would you go, specific to that, would you go Trent Scott again at right tackle, or would you go Lucas?
I'll try Trent, because Lucas was a swing tackle.
Right.
He can
play
both.
Right.
Yeah. And he's damn good when he's on the field. I'll try him out, because I don't care who's out there. I need the best five. The best five that day, I need them playing.
Is there anybody you would want to make a move then? Because it doesn't look like Wiley's going to play with the concussion.
Well, I think you got those two guys right there on the team that you know can play the position, so you go with that. You know, then you're going to have to try somebody else out and see. Listen, I believe everybody that gets paid, you got to be able to prove me something. I don't just think, like, I know I hear every year, oh, we don't have nobody because we haven't seen the guys play. We don't know their names on a regular basis. How many guys were nobodies that became somebody when they got an opportunity? So hopefully somebody on this damn staff, on this roster, has the mindset that, you know what, I'm going to get my opportunity. I'm going to go show what I can do.
Give me number 7 real quick, Landfill. I think this is where a lot of people are, that there are concerns, man. This thing was 7-2. Now it's 7-5, 3 straight losses. The offense does not look to have the same gear it previously did. Where's DQ?
Yeah, what I told the team today, Scott, as we're 3 months in, nothing's been decided, and that really fires me up because I want to see this identity just, you know, reveal itself about how we play. And those things will play out as we're going. And that's what I want to see from the guys, that the speed, the effort, the finishing. And if we do those things right, Scott, the score will certainly take care of itself. But that's what I want to see. And so can we be so disciplined that we don't look far down the road? And that was part of the message today. Can we just look at this one and go from there?
I don't like mentioning effort. Otherwise, I understand his message. I think publicly, that's what you talk about, is, oh, we just got to clean our stuff up. We just got to execute better. I do think strategically inside that building, you got to look at your offense and see if you got to make some.
But I don't believe executing is about effort. Executing is just being mentally there. But let's I'll take you back to 3 of these games, and I'll take you on those drops, okay? We've seen a lot of drops. If those were caught, no one is saying anything about Jaden. and ain't nobody talking about Cliff, right? If they catch those passes, Diami.
What, in the Pittsburgh game?
Ertz.
They ended up scoring on the Diami drive.
But if those passes are caught, then other passes that hit people in both hands, they drop them. Nobody's discussing anything, but it's easy now because you know what? The narrative points a little to, oh, it's Cliff's offense. I don't buy that.
That's fine. I just think what I said going into the Dallas game is a perfect opportunity to extinguish the narratives. Yeah, shut everybody up. The numbers would tell you Dallas's defense could not play. And they got here and played pretty well.
Still
got
to play football, dog. The problem is
when does that
the numbers don't always work out, Jay. You know that in every game out
Dallas,
there.
Dallas's defense outplayed Washington's offense in that game.
Okay,
numbers
they did,
or not.
But it could tell you straight up, did Cleveland's team not outplay the Steelers?
Sure, but it's not one-off.
But it's not just a one-off. What I'm trying to tell you, I told you before the game, you thought it was going to be a blowout. Rivalry games, you could throw that scrap out the window.
Sometimes.
Most times.
Dallas has kicked their ass for 3 years.
And they have beaten Dallas when they suck too, right?
Yeah.
When the team has sucked, they've beaten Dallas, right?
The recent history has been mostly Dallas blowouts.
But the problem with all the people today, you can't just go to the damn numbers. Numbers ain't the only thing that tells a story.
But I'm with you. I agree with that.
And that's why I say everybody goes to numbers all the time. How about watch the damn game and not just look at the numbers?
Totally agree. Watching the games, the last month, five games.
The players got their ass whipped in certain games.
Right.
That wasn't the scheme.
When does something have to happen for you to look at the scheme?
I'm not looking at the scheme. When I obviously see you not executing and getting whipped at the point, scheme ain't got nothing to do with that. That's just having gonads or not.
There, now you heard it. We're going to take a quick break.